When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
You're now listening to The Jillian Michaels Show.
All right. Another somber opening, but maybe it'll... No, I don't think there's any room for humor here. We haven't talked about what happened in Paris.
Oh, God.
I know, right? I can't even... And I bring it up, though. There's a reason I'm bringing it up. But I would ask you right now, just Jake, Autumn, what are you left with after that? Honestly, like, where are you emotionally? What are you left with? What are your takeaways? Have you been changed by it?
Well, we were in Paris a couple months ago.
That's right. I forgot that.
So, you know, the first thing you go to is like, oh my God, I'm so glad that we weren't, that didn't happen when we were there. I mean, you're talking like a matter of weeks. It's not that far.
Yep.
But separate from that, it was just, I think that I have this underlying like fear and terror all the time lately. Reading all of this shit that is happening in the news and around the world. And it's like, every day, every hour. I mean, you really can't go on your newsfeed without seeing something like awful.
Right.
Awful, awful. And then this, I mean, hundreds of people, and reading all of the stories and the, you know, you have the victims now, people that survive, the survivors that are talking about their experiences there, and just how fucking scary that is.
I know.
And how easily that could be anywhere, any of us, anytime.
Right.
You know, we live in America, and I feel like we have this little kind of artificial security blanket. And I'm not trying to be like a fear monger, like, you never know, you're going to get, you know.
But it is, though. But it's left people feeling afraid.
I'm afraid.
And then I noticed that fear is being manipulated.
Absolutely.
You know, and Jake, what's your take on it?
This one's really hard for me because so this comes out and then Facebook changes all their, you know, you can change all your profile pictures to the flag, the French flag.
Right.
Like when they did it with the gay stuff.
Yep.
And so then everyone's saying like, what about all these other countries where all this other terrible stuff is happening?
Right.
And then it's like, well, what am I supposed to care about? Which one is more important? And then everyone's like, well, you care about this now. You didn't care about this before. But like, regardless of all that, what I do care about is like, it was like one of the shootings was at an Eagles of Death Metal concert, which I could have easily been at. So that does scare me. I go to concerts all the time. And that's like that's one of my favorite things to do, and that's like a safe place for me. I go there to enjoy myself and get away from everything else and have a great time.
Right.
And for that to be taken away from so many people now, like, people to be scared to go to a concert, that's ridiculous.
What I kind of thought, what I watched was, I just stood back because I was like, I did think what you thought. I was like, this, the sad thing about all this is this happens in different parts of the world all the time. And that, but I was like, I didn't color my thing like the French flag. I didn't jump on the bandwagon. I just quietly, you know, was like, this is horrendous, and had, you know, conversation with Heidi about it and in private, and was like, God, what, you know, how sad, obviously. What I did notice, though, is how people in the media, especially with it being an election year,
mm-hmm.
use this opportunity to push an agenda and to manipulate fear, right? Mm-hmm. And I watch the world nowadays, and it's like we've got one person running who, you know, shall remain nameless. And, he doesn't need to remain, you know, Donald Trump, who's a lunatic. I mean, but nevertheless, it's kind of like this very, the world is becoming so polarized. It's very all or nothing. It's very black and white. It's like you're either anti-abortion, pro-gun, pro-business, anti-immigrant, anti-gay,
mm-hmm.
or you're, you know, pro-gay, anti-gun, pro-choice. And it doesn't seem like anyone is able to kind of stand in the middle of all of this and wage the, I don't know, to see both sides of this. And the world, the more polarized we become, the farther away we're getting from these solutions.
Right.
And I read this one article about why ISIS would do it and what were they really trying to get. And it was right after the attacks happened. A friend of mine posted it. And one of them, of course, posed as a Syrian refugee. And Germany was letting refugees in. And just various countries in the Western world were allowing refugees in. And why would they do that? I mean, think about what a massive blow to their organization it is to have Muslims and people from the Middle East on mass exodus to the Western world. That's a good thing. It's a good thing that they're getting away from terrorism and all of that. They're running from these monsters. And it shows the world that the Western world is not so polarized, that, you know, we're not prejudiced to these monsters that everyone thinks we are, which, you know, some of us are.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, of course they would want that. One of the reasons they posed as a person, as a Syrian refugee, is so the borders would shut.
Right.
And these people would have nowhere to go. That's why they did it. Obviously, that's part of why they did it.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of what they wanted. And sure enough, certain individuals are playing right into that and, like, shutting the doors. And I saw Hillary Clinton was like, we're better than this. You know, we can't allow monsters to shut down our humanity. You know, we're better than this. And I can't understand why people, you know, you see all this prejudice against Muslims, and it's like, no, being Muslim is not this. Who thinks that, oh, if you're Muslim, you're a terrorist? That's absurd.
I just watched this video this morning on, so one of my friend's dads posts these ridiculous videos, and I kind of keep him as a friend on Facebook for, you know, comedy.
Right.
It was this guy standing up, pointing, it was some in some meeting or something, pointing at a Muslim guy going, every one of you is a terrorist. And there are people that actually think that.
They are, oh, for sure. Oh, no. Oh, there are. Like, all the people that have pushed Donald Trump up in the polls, those are the ones that think that.
Well, we live in a bubble here in L.A. where it's like we hardly meet anyone like
mm-hmm.
that. I feel like it's real out there.
Oh, no, it's very yeah. real. I was watching a TED Talk about by a lesbian, and she was talking about, you know, she brought up all this duality stuff that got me thinking, but she was talking about how when she holds her girlfriend's hand in the streets, you know, she sometimes doesn't know to let it go. You know, and what she really wants to do is squeeze tighter, but she's afraid for them, and because the climate is so dangerous. Like, that is, yeah, that's the majority of America outside of the major metropolitan cities and the coasts.
Mm-hmm.
So what I don't get, though, is I don't understand, and we need to sort of find common ground to arrive at solutions, and it's just become us against them, and it's black and it's white. And you know, when I look at most of these issues, most of them, I can see both sides. I really can. And we've talked about that mm-hmm. stuff. Like, I can see personally, like, I understand elements of pro-choice and I understand elements of being anti-abortion. I really do. And I'm like, okay, you know, so the answer's somewhere in the middle here. Like, if you're raped, if you're molested, you know, I see both sides of this. Especially after I saw my son's little body at 8 months old and Heidi's stomach. Whoa. That messed with my head. I see both sides. I see both sides of the gun debate. I see both sides to most of it. Equal rights? No, I don't see both sides. I think it's one-sided. But for the most part, we need to really look at the world and go, okay, what does all of this mean? What does all of it mean? Immigration, what does it mean? So, and try to, because then we can start to work together and come up with solutions, because the solution is somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. That's the solution that we're going to arrive at. And I don't understand why we lose our, this woman on this TED Talk, I wish I could remember her name. I know her first name was Ashley, but she was saying that when we subscribe to these kind of all or nothing mentalities, we lose our individuality. Because we just go into this cookie cutter mold of, I fall into this group or this category.
Right. Well, just to add to that too, is social media, while can be awesome, also incredibly dangerous with all of the propaganda people are sharing. And I beg you, before you forward on or share a video or a link or a meme or a picture of anything hateful or political or angry, do your research.
Yeah.
Is
Thank
it
you.
Even accurate? Yeah. I'm a friend of mine, a high school friend, Facebook friend that I don't speak to anymore really, but we've connected on Facebook. He's been posting things on there and it's all I have in me not to reply, like, do you know what you're talking about? Because every day you post something negative or angry, and half of them conflict with what you posted yesterday. Like,
oh no.
But, you know, I mean, look, you're entitled to your opinion, but just make it educated.
Yeah.
Have an educated opinion, please.
I've even seen positive ones that are complete BS, where it's like a picture of a little girl holding something, and it's like, this little girl was blank, blank, blank. Like, she was saved by a Muslim man that this and that. You know what I'm saying? So they make up stories that seem really positive, where it's just like some stock photo of some girl in a completely different country. You know what I'm saying?
I think you're right. Educate yourself. I think that's the key. The key is, educate yourself on the argument if you're going to argue it.
Right.
You know, and for me, I've always been pro-immigration because I'm like, you know what? I'm not Native American. And we don't own the planet, for God's sake. And if somebody wants to build a better life for their family, they should be able to. But I do think we need to come up then, obviously, with some policies of like, okay, how do we vet these people for security measures? How do we make sure they're upstanding members of society and not, you know, living off of some broken system?
Agreed.
I think it's a middle.
Agreed.
There's a middle here.
I think everyone deserves an opportunity to create a better life for
themselves. Absolutely. And contribute.
And contribute. And be part of it. We all, all of our family and ancestry, everyone came here. Well, we got to our Native American friends.
My grandparents came to Ellis Island.
Everyone came here to make a better life for themselves and for their families. And I welcome that. I think it's important to have a blend of culture.
Agree with you.
Come on.
Totally agree.
Now, there needs to be systems in place that make that
accessible
and reasonable.
For productivity, absolutely.
Right. If you can meet, you know, A, B, C, D, these are the steps, these are the backgrounds, these are the requirements, like, welcome.
I agree with you.
Thank you for coming.
It should be a process, right, obviously, with a lot of checks and balances, but I'm like, that's a middle. That's a middle ground.
I agree.
And by the way, the polarizing stuff, it doesn't work. You want to outlaw abortion, all you're going to do is have a bunch of young women dying from, you know, dangerous God knows what surgeries, which is what happened back in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't work. It's like outlawing drugs. Oh, that's worked like a charm. Bravo. Because I can't make 2 phone calls and get any crazy-ass drug I want here in 20 minutes. And I'm a health and wellness person who's 40, okay? That just goes to show you.
Right.
Or it's like, oh, yeah, you know, you're going to keep people out? Oh, that's worked so well. People, instead, you've got a lot of people dying on these little boats and what have you, or, you know, dying trying to cross deserts and trunks of cars, and they're getting here anyway, but instead, some of them are dying along the way with children. It's absurd. It's not working. We need to take a way more open approach, educate ourselves on the issues, and try to find a common ground in order to find a solution. And that's all I want to say. I was so upset when I started to see people, like, shutting their borders. And all I could think to myself is, if you want to know how to find common ground, put yourself in the other person's shoes. Mm-hmm. Really, walk yourself through a mental exercise where you are that person. Be on that boat of 500 refugees where everyone dies but two of you. You know, right. Be the mom whose child's body just rolled up on a beach. Be that mom. Be in that body. Or be the dad trying to tear your family away from terrorists and putting their lives at risk because they'd be dead if you stayed anyway. And you want to shut the door on that? No. That's not human. It's not human. It's not the better part of us as a species. And I get it. Security is key. I know this. But that, you know, that is not the solution. Hate mongering is not the solution. Racism and prejudice just propagates more of the same. And that's all, you know, as we go into this holiday season, I would just ask people, like, instead of putting so much energy into the fight, try to put so much energy into understanding whoever it is you're fighting. Because even if you don't agree with them, even if you hate them, it just allows you to defend yourself against what they're going after anyway.
That's it.
There you go.
All right.
Okay, ladies, I've got a gift idea for that special somebody in your life. It's a special gentleman, actually. It's a holiday shaving set from Harry's. These things start at only $15, right? They have different price points, but they've got this foaming shaving gel that smells awesome, and you can get blade cartridges, and it comes with this little copper razor handle that you can have engraved. I got one for Gian. He loves it because now that his razor has his name on, his wife doesn't use it anymore. It's the little things, guys. It's the little things. Anyway, it can make a great Secret Santa. All you got to do is go to harrys.com, and they will give you $5 off your first purchase so you can impress for less. You just enter the promo code, which is my name, Jillian, J-I-L-L-I-A-N. And not only do they make really great, high-quality grooming products, but they give 1% of their sales and 1% of their time back to the communities they serve. So you can feel good about a gift that gives back. Find the perfect gift at harrys.com. It couldn't be easier. Save yourself that pesky trip to the mall. And until the 8th of December, you can go to harrys.com and they will give you that $5 off your first order using the code Jillian. So do not wait. They've got free shipping throughout the holidays. It ends on December 10th. Act now. That's harrys.com. Promo code Jillian. This is an interesting one. 5 foods that taste better in November than they will all year. Yum. Drool. Mm. I started to look at this one, and what I found interesting about it, because at first I was like, snooze fest. Yeah. But what I like, actually, is it seems these foods are affected in the same way wine is affected by weather. Huh? Now I'm intrigued, Annie.
Oh my God.
Now I'm intrigued.
We had you at wine.
Yeah. Yeah. So, for example, Brussels sprouts, because it's like, oh, it's seasonal. But I always thought that just means like, hey, it's better for the planet because you're not having to find a country where the food is in season and then ship it thousands and thousands of miles. But apparently seasonal also means that the climate affects the food quality. Mm-hmm. So it says Brussels sprouts. It's a great month for Brussels sprouts, November, because they're delicious since cold temperatures tame their bitterness. Yum.
Oh, interesting.
It says similar vegetables, obviously cruciferous vegetables then, like kale and cabbage. Huh. Cold weather tames their bitterness. Did you know that with Heidi's peppers, I always get down on her because, like, she would grow me peppers and it would taste like a green pepper. And I was like, this is not a jalapeno. I don't understand. It's a green pepper. And she would get really pissed. And the reason was because they weren't getting enough sun. What makes peppers spicy?
Is the sun. Fascinating.
How weird is that? But yeah, so it works both ways, apparently. Okay. Carrots. Okay, so it's root vegetable season. Now's a good time for carrots, parsnips, turnips, and celeriac. Why don't they just say celery?
Oh, I don't know. Is that different?
I'm
going to
Google it.
Celeriac?
Isn't that just celery? Isn't that just a snooty way of saying celery?
That's a pretty fancy way.
I think it is.
No, it's not.
It's not?
Wait.
Huh.
Hmm. Well, while you look that up.
Oh, they convert their starches to sugar after a frost.
Interesting.
Oh.
And it says, oh, look, it says season with za'atar. Who knows what za'atar is?
It's a Middle Eastern spice.
Yeah, you're spot on. I was like, I'm the resident Arab in the room here. Do you know you can't say Arab anymore, supposedly?
Yes, I know.
Why?
I don't know, because they consider it stereotypical racist.
Why is it racist if you're Arab?
Universities can't use it anymore, but it's ridiculous.
Well, what if you are Arab?
What do you, how do you speak then?
Then what do you say?
What do you say? I don't know.
Can't say Arab
Do you
anymore?
Say Middle Eastern maybe is the euphemism.
Huh. Are you kidding me?
I don't know. I don't know that. I'm just guessing that that would be the euphemism for Arab.
I grew up, my dad's parents were Greek, Lebanese, and Syrian.
Right.
We always said Arab. Arabic, Arabic food, the Arabic language. They spoke Arabic. My dad's Arab.
Yeah.
Anyway, can't say that, but I can because I'm Arab. So, ha! Yeah, they're Arabic spices. And it says, also to consider making them with walnuts, hazelnuts, cumin, or coriander. Is there an answer?
That sounds delicious,
no,
by the way.
No, I moved on to
How dare Arab. You?
Cranberries, man. I'm not really into them, but that's good that they're nice.
Yeah, because you can't eat them unless you make them into a paste or something.
Yeah.
Or you dry them.
Craisins, yeah.
Yeah.
Craisins.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then they're just really high in sugar because they're just little dehydrated little
You're not
sugar.
Wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cranberry juice, plain.
Very bitter.
Yeah, it's like a good, it's good for
urinary tract
yes.
or whatever.
Yeah, mm-hmm. if you get urinary tract, but this is not the point of this.
Okay, I have an answer.
If you have a urinary tract.
Yeah, in November.
It's best to get it
in Yeah,
November.
This is going to take, yeah, what is it?
Celery root and celery are both members of the same family of vegetables, but they are not the vegetable that you buy in the store called celery.
As in the stalk.
As in the stalk. This vegetable is cultivated for its root and base instead of for its stalk and leaves.
Fascinating.
Interesting.
Oh, so it's still celery, but it's a different part of the celery.
Same family. Different.
Mm. Okay. Different. Why is this better? It says cranberries appear in November, but why? The rich vitamin. Why is it better in November? They don't answer that.
No, they actually don't.
No, they don't, those bastards. They do not answer that at all. They just say this is a month where they'll appear on Thanksgiving tables. Duh. They can be used in cakes, crisps, and quick breads. We know that. They can be roasted, adding to stuffings or meats. They can infuse alcohol. Keep an eye out for fresh berries. What is he? We know this.
Well,
but
maybe,
that's not nothing to do with November.
They were just trying to be cranberry fans with the festivities.
Mm. Or maybe the dishes that they're prepped with are best served in a fall month.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
this
really
article is sponsored
the
by the Cranberry Commission or something.
Hey,
you
don't think those things don't exist.
They do.
I worked with the avocado people. They're not joking
around. They really segue into avocados.
Yeah, they are not
Cough
planned.
Due to cold? Avocados.
okay. I remember when G called me and he's like, what do you think of this? Zyrtec? No. This? No. That? No. Avocados?
Okay.
Yeah.
Good facts.
See, and by the way, if there is a cranberry commission, everything bad I said about cranberries, I take back. I love them. I love their flavor. And if you want to pay me to talk about cranberries more, I will.
Yes.
It's fine to make money talking about things that don't kill people.
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
Speaking of leeks.
Delicious.
Really?
Okay, well, I admit I've never had one.
Cooked. Leek soup is
but
yummy.
Leeks.
It's just an onion.
Leek just seems like
it's an onion.
It is?
It's like a scallion. Yeah, potato
Well, it
leeks.
Does benefit from the chill of the frost, Jillian Michaels. You'll be happy to know.
It's like a scallion, dude.
Well, furthermore, you should look for stalks that have most white and light green as possible. They should feel crisp.
Thank you. Speaking of onions, fall and winter makes them robust, more so than their early year counterparts. This season's onions should have darker, thicker skins. Look for ones without blemishes. Do you think people are falling asleep at the wheel of their car because of this? God knows this doesn't hold a candle to Autumn's yoga sex segment that we've done today, which isn't going to be in this show, and it's super unprofessional and odd for me to mention it, but I want you to know we did that. So it's either aired in a previous show, I don't know because I haven't cut these together yet, or you can look forward to it in a future podcast. That was riveting, Autumn. Yeah. Thanks for nothing.
Well, there you go.
I honestly thought that'd be way more interesting than it was, but...
Bombas Athletic Leisure Socks. Hello. Re-engineered to look better, feel better, and perform better. What could sound better? Am I right? Am I right? Bombas.com/Jillian, J-I-L-L-I-A-N. And you can get 20% off any size order for first-time customers. I mean, guys, doesn't get better than this. Plus, Bombas has donated more than 300,000 pairs of socks to those in need. There's a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like them, refund all the way, 100%, if you return them. Hello? How do they keep you happy? Well, they've got seamless toes. They got rid of those bumpy seams that are on most socks. I like to wear mine when I go on a jog. Yeah. Nicole stole them, though. They're on her feet right now. Jerk. So go to bombas.com/Jillian. Get yourself a pair. Check them out. That's bombas.com/Jillian. Bombas.com/Jillian.
Is anyone here, like, intrinsically anxious or just me?
Just you.
Come on! To me?
I have moments of it. I don't think on the whole I'm anxious, but I definitely have periods throughout the month where there's more anxious days than others.
The time of the month.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm...
You get worried for 7 to 10 days. For 7 to 10 days.
I am a naturally anxious person, but I found that, like, that I can cope with it relatively well if I kind of put myself through the paces and I play out all my scenarios. And Autumn actually pulled this article that I think is good, and it says 7 questions to ask yourself if you're constantly anxious. And it was written by a psychologist. I always kind of play out my scenarios, right? I'm like, all right, what's the worst that's going to happen and all that. But before I get to mine, let's read hers since she is a shrink. And the first question is a good one. Is my worry controllable or solvable? Mm. Like, and I always say, like, if there's something you can do about it, do it, right? Mm-hmm. Handle it. Mm-hmm. Get it off of your plate. And another thing I'll do is, like, I'll make a list of, like, all right, I'm stressed out and this is bothering me, but tomorrow I'm going to, my course of action, my game plan is going to be, you know, call so-and-so, try to resolve this and try to move that over here and do X, Y, and Z and get a plan of action, an action plan. If it isn't solvable and there isn't an action plan, I mean, you kind of got to surrender to the situation. You do yep. everything you can do. And then there's a point where you kind of give it to God.
Yep.
Right? I mean, mm-hmm. I hate to say. Now, she says, is this a minor decision? If you spent 20 minutes pouring through a menu whilst your companion tuts away impatiently from near starvation, perhaps you should reevaluate this worry. This is interesting. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if it's a minor concern, what is her suggestion, though? Trust yourself to make a decision. You're capable of that. You can save time or effort by not worrying about minutia. I don't worry about minutia, actually. I'm pretty good about that.
Yeah, I don't think you worry about minutia.
No. Does anybody worry about minutia?
I do.
Really?
What is minutia?
Like small, like sweating the small stuff.
Like the, yeah, the micro.
Sweating the small stuff. Really? And why?
I don't know. I mean, it's something I'm trying to work on. But yeah, I have to just, like, dissect everything down to the smallest detail. I've been trying to do better about that. This is funny, this, like, 20 minutes on the menu.
Yeah. You do that? One of the things they say is there's too many choices.
There's too many choices, yeah. And that's why I started looking, when I know we're going places, I know this sounds like psycho, I will look it up online and look at the menu in advance so I can just have my decision made and not feel pressured to make a decision.
Wow.
I don't think that's psycho at all.
I do.
If it's a new place, I don't know.
Even if it's a place I've been before, if I think I might change my mind, like, I don't want to have the
anxiety of having to change your mind from the burger to the fish.
And then, like, oh, well, do I really want that? Am I going to be disappointed when it comes? Like, all of that.
Wow.
I know. I'm working on it, but it is,
that's
like
good.
A...
Well, probably you knowing it being able to have a game plan.
Mm-hmm. What in your mind will happen if you have made the wrong decision?
Nothing. That's the thing. Nothing. And I know that it's food. So I get the tacos and they're bad. Like, really, is it the end of the world, Autumn? It's not. But there's something about that pre-plan. It's also conditioning probably from years of, like, my work. And not, I'm not even saying just with you, but, like, I've always had to anticipate.
Right.
That's been, I mean, since I joined the workforce.
That's true.
I've always had a job where I had to anticipate, like, steps ahead. So,
interesting.
I think I...
So it's probably Jill anxiety. That has caused it's deep Jill. Psychological anxiety about decision-making in you.
Yes.
Jill. Good for you. Right, well, so, good. I'm so glad I'm to so see sorry. That I left a lasting impression.
You did.
Yeah. She back says, do I think that worrying helps me solve my problems? Which is obviously, you know, this is so obvious. But if you play it out, it's like, all right, if I lay here and I waste all this mental energy stressing out, is it making the situation any better? The answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm always like, all right, if there's an action plan to take, I'll take it. Mm-hmm. Right? If there's something I can do, I'll do it. If not, again, I try to distract myself then. I'm like, all right, what else can we do? What can we work on? What can we affect? What can we change? How can I redirect this energy? Because I sort of see all this worry as like a river flowing, right? All this energy going into a brick wall.
Mm-hmm.
And it just builds, but like nothing's happening. And like, how can we kind of build a channel and redirect it into something more positive and proactive in the moment? Something that can distract you.
Yeah.
Do you think that every thought popping into your head is important? Oh, I don't have that one. To me?
No, I don't.
No, I don't either.
I have way too many.
Yeah, I don't either. She said not every thought needs to be entertained and to let your thoughts run amok. See, that's tough for me to identify with. Can you? Oh, my God. I would go crazy if I was constantly.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I'd be bananas. All right. Do you believe that worrying means you'll be prepared? This is a very good question. I do.
I do, too.
Andrew?
No, not so much. But I'm different now. I'm in a different phase right now. So I don't know who I am right now because I'm a new mom. And so I know objectively I worry about things that I don't need to worry about, but it's because of my inexperience. And so now I worry about different things that I think I'm going to grow out of once I'm not so paranoid about my infant falling out of my hands. Which
that's
is so
normal,
silly.
Though, yeah. Dude.
Normal, but it's
a
weird thing.
And by
thing.
The way, I mean, we all have that moment. Phoenix rolled off the bed once and Heidi was hysterical. Just happens.
Yeah, for some reason, you know, I get up in the middle of the happens, night and I worry dude. That she's forgotten to breathe and she's just sleeping with her face in the crib. Well, she knows to turn her head because breathing helps you kind of keep alive.
Yeah.
But I'll go in to make sure. And in time, I'm going to grow out of that.
Oh, boogie.
You know, but it's weird because I worry now about different things that I once didn't think twice about, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, but that's normal, though. I think that's built into every mother.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, that one, I don't know, but I definitely think, like I told my shrink, I'm like that computer in War Games, the Matthew Broderick movie that continues to play the game and plays like every possible scenario.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like I will lay in bed and I'm like, if they do this, then I'll do that. And then they'll do this. And then I'll go, no, you know, War Games.
Your clear life kind of requires that though. I feel like Jillian, you got to wake up every day with understanding the preemptive strike.
Yeah,
I don't do that. I mean, are my clients going to show up to the gym? No, they're going to cancel. Then I charge you. And then I go get a billable hour coffee. Then I go home and change my baby's diaper.
A billable hour coffee?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's my day. I really, it's simple. I don't think someone's maybe going to sue me. I don't worry about ratings. I don't worry about all that big stuff. I wouldn't want to worry about that.
It definitely, business is literally modern day warfare.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Mm-hmm. And you constantly are like, all right, you know, should I just settle this lawsuit and be done with it? So our insurance doesn't run, or on principle alone, should I say no and I'm going to fight it, even though it will cost five times as much money? Or should we let the, you know, everything is it definitely, but that's an action plan. It's like, let me think it through, you know, and we always opt, you know, and then once we came up with a strategy for lawsuits, we don't settle, period, end of story. We never settle. And now we have a default. We're like, all right, here we go. We know what we're doing. No matter what, we don't settle.
Like a template.
You got it.
Yeah. But you have so many tentacles, you need 50 templates.
But it took, but do you know how long, how many times I had to play out these scenarios? So now what we'll do is we will literally, like, we won't settle, and we will always find a way to countersue. Even though it costs money, we're like, awesome, let's see. And that's the game. The game is, like, and that's where you play the game in your mind of, like, do I stand on principle? But will I get hurt for that? Is that irresponsible? You know, you play all those scenarios. But I think once you've played them all out and you start looping them over and over again,
yeah,
that's where you kind of get into trouble. And once you make a decision, you got to stick with that decision and vet it.
But your skin must have gotten a lot tougher in the last,
like, yeah, even
5 years.
Because, I know.
I mean, the first time
I've been accused of everything under the sun,
yeah,
and you get to a point where you're like, "Yes, I beat my children. I hate gays. I hate my partner. I kill people with supplements. I torture animal. I mean, like, literally everything under the sun." That, yes, you're right. You get, that's why now we never settle, and we always countersue.
I guess it sets up a deterrent, though. But with that, then, maybe with worrying, all that said, then, the lesson is you get more experience with your worry. Because if you worry about one thing and it keeps coming up again, if you've solved it,
yeah,
you know how to handle it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's
so
true.
So I guess with worry, if you have experience, you worry less.
Yeah, I think you're right. You're right. Yeah, because you feel prepared. And that's one of the things that helps me with worry is getting informed.
Yeah.
So that I'm like, all right, I have all the information, so I feel better prepared. I feel armed to do battle with this. She says, how different are my conditions now? This is interesting. Like many things in life, the more practiced in action, thought or feeling is, the likelier it is to be repeated. Freud theorized that neurons that fire together wire together. Indeed, I like to use the analogy of worrying as a well-developed muscle that operates on autopilot. That's interesting. Sometimes it takes us pausing to reflect on how different our conditions are now as compared to our childhood or when something bad happened.
Wow.
Oh, like when you felt helpless.
Yes.
And out of control.
I'm going to write that down.
Yeah. When we realize it's time to let go of worrying all the time, it's time to give our peace and well-being a chance because we deserve it. We can kill our worrying muscle and instead nurture our kindness muscle. Ah.
I like it.
Yeah. She says that worrying becomes our way of protecting ourselves. Wow. Something bad happened that can shatter your understanding of the world and lead us to behave in different ways, and worrying becomes our way of protecting ourselves. But really, it just depletes the crap out of you and accomplishes nothing good. Hmm. Interesting. Autumn? Not bad.
Thank you.
Not terrible.